And I want to just interject this. Go to John, the 6th chapter with me. The book of John, the 6th chapter. There is a reward to us. There is a benefit to us for being willing. This is the account that we're going to read of Jesus. We're going to start in verse 19. When he had told the disciples to go, and he stayed back. And let's pick up in verse 19 here. And I'm going to read this in the New King James. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. Now, let me say it this way. They were not willing for him to get in that boat with him because they feared. They didn't know who he was. Well, they didn't even know what it was. But verse 20, he speaks to them and he says, "It is I. Do not be afraid." His word changed their whole attitude. And then in verse 21, Then they willingly received him in the boat. So they acted on that, and they were willing to allow him to come into the boat with them. And look at what happened when they were obedient, but when they were willingly obedient to let him in the boat. And immediately, the boat was at the land where they were going. So I believe we see submission, submitting to him as they were, enabled willingness, and that willingness enabled them to walk in the obedience that they needed to. So now let's begin to talk about obedience. And let me just say at the front, we're not going to do an exhaustive teaching on this. We're looking at Jesus and how his actions apply to us. So we walk in those footprints. But the word for obedience in the Greek language also means to hear and to do. That obedience is more. It's the hearing intelligently component that we looked at. For me, I have begun to view through the years as my obedience is my natural reaction to his lavishing grace upon me. That's the way I need to see it. And that grace comes from where? And this is going to be important as we go through this. From his love. Let's go all the way back to the Old Covenant, to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And we're going to read 6 verses, starting in verse 15. So Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Are you ready to walk in some more of his love? Boy, I hope so, because you're about to be blessed. Verse 15, the Lord talking says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity," or death and evil, or death meaning the curse. Now, he doesn't change in this respect. He made man and created us to have a what? To have a free will. In other words, to make a choice. But here, he's telling us and instructing us what that choice is to be. But notice, he's not going to ever force you. If you feel pressure, if you feel like you're being shoved in the back, it's not Jesus. And so we want the blessing. We want to submit to him, view him as master, and look at what it says. Now, I've set before you life and prosperity and death and adversity. And then verse 16, in that I command you. So we're getting commandments. Commandments reminds me of something that I need to obey. This I command you today. And look at where it starts. To love the Lord your God. So it's about love. To walk in his ways and keep his commandments. So it's about obedience. And his statutes and judgments. So it's to be obedient, what? In every aspect of our walk in relationship to him. And look at the benefit from this. That you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. So he is not talking about us being obedient in heaven. He's talking about today. That we can live this blessed life in his love today, and for you and I, that means as born-again believers until it's our time to go be with the Lord. So it's not heaven that's being discussed. It's about us and how to walk here today. Then look at 17 and 18. This is a little bit of a warning. But if your heart turns away and you will not, my translation says obey. King James says to hear. It's the same word that we saw for obedience earlier. So if we're not willing to hear and obey, I would say, but you're drawn away and you worship other gods, make idols, and serve them, I declare to you this day that you'll perish. Your days shall not, you shall not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. So he's warning them. And in this, we see he's telling them, you're going to have to submit to me to do it my way. And then verse 19. The Lord graciously says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. But then he gives us his wisdom. And we know this verse. Now, again, I know I say this a lot. Just because you know this verse or think you do, don't cut it off, whatever we're about to say. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And then we get to verse 20. And so I would say what he's just told us is to choose life. But verse 20 is going to tell us how we choose life. Number one, by loving the Lord your God. Number two, by obeying his voice. Number three, by holding fast to him. Don't quit. For this, for what? Loving him, staying in that loving relationship, being submitted and obedient, holding fast to him, not quitting. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So what is he telling us here? He's telling us how we are to choose him. By loving him, by being obedient, and by never quitting. Now, think about what we've studied in this one study. Where did we start? We started talking about love. Then we started talking about our identity as a son, knowing who we are. So he's talking to them about knowing who they are with him. And then we talked about honoring our Father, which obviously, what if you do those things, you will. And now submitting in obedience. Do you see how the Lord is setting us up to be able to accomplish all the things that he's laid before us? I want you to see the key in this. The Lord is not waiting. We are not, let me say it differently. We are not waiting on God to be willing to bless us. He's waiting on us to be willing and is willing to love us, to bless us. As we believe and are willingly obedient, he's waiting to do all these works that we want him to do. That's his heart, to lavish them upon you. Now, when we get these things straight, that sounds like to me we're someone who has a heart after the Lord. Kind of like David. But who else does this sound like? Go to the book of John, the 5th chapter. And we're going to primarily be, in fact, we may be almost exclusively in the book of John, the remainder of this study today. John 5, 19 and 20. Listen to Jesus. He answers his answers and says to them, truly, truly. Now, when he says that, he's really saying, listen to this, pay attention. This is the way it is. So be it. So be it is the literal translation for amen. And that's what this word is. The Son can do nothing of himself. He didn't say the Son won't do nothing of himself. He said the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Now, when I read that, that also implies to me that the Lord is not obligated to do every whim and thought that comes across my mind. This is Jesus. This is the one whose footsteps. He says, I can do nothing of myself, I'm paraphrasing, unless it's something I see my Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus is looking where? At all times for His direction. He's looking to the Father. Now this is not saying that we're wrong to go do something we know is scriptural. But if we know it's scriptural and we know it, we've seen the Father doing it. And look at why Jesus says this. For the Father loves the Son. There's love again. And shows Him all things that He Himself is doing. So for you and I, we could say, Jesus loves me. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is showing me everything He's doing. Why? So that I can do it. But look at what Jesus says at the end of this verse. The Father is showing Him all things that He Himself is doing, and greater works than these will He show Him, that you may marvel. Now, when I read that verse, some of you are going to think about John 14:12, aren't you? We'll look at it in just a moment. But Jesus is saying, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. John 12, verse 49. And let me just read this one to you from the New Living for time's sake. John 12, 49 and 50. Jesus says, I don't speak on my own authority. So He is saying here, I don't speak at all on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. So we've talked about covenant authority. We know we walk in authority, but whose authority do we speak from? Verse 50, and I know His commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Now, look at that phrase. It jumped out at me. I know His commands lead to eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, Jesus says in John 3, it's knowing the Father and the one He sent, His Son. It's knowing Him. Everything that we do that produces eternal life is about knowing, and it comes from them. So whatever comes from them, that's what Jesus says, I'm saying. Now, John 6:63, and I prayed this as we started today, and this is why, because it's been fresh on my mind for several weeks. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken, Jesus says, to you, they are spirit and they are life. So think about this. If you and I desire to speak words of life, then should we be obedient to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to say what they are saying to us? His words that He speaks? And I'm tempted to get into talking about twice mouthed or double-edged sword, but I'm not going to do it. But that's the way that we wield a double-edged sword. That's the way we wield the sword of the Spirit, is when we say what He says. Reinhard Bonnke, what he was told, that the Lord told him that my words in your mouth are just as powerful when you speak them as they were if I spoke them. Again, I'm paraphrasing that a little bit for time's sake. But that's the way we are to operate in obedience. What we hear, we say, what we see, we do. And that leads us to John 14:12, where He talks about you and I doing the same and greater works. Now, in this, don't get hung up on the same and greater. I'm just interested right now in just doing what He wants me to do. And if it's the same, fine. If it gets to a point where it's greater, that's fine. But this is saying, I've got to be willing to hear. To hear intelligently, which means I'm going to act on it. Now, tied to this verse, I also just want to go to John 14, but as we go, I just want to make this point. Is it key to us to get instruction from the Father of what He's saying and doing for us to fulfill our call on this earth? Sure. And one of the things, what are we called to do? We are called to be ambassadors of reconciliation to Him. But one of the things, and it ties into John 14, 12, doing the things that Jesus did, one of the things that we are called to do is to represent, that's what an ambassador does, it, Jesus. I like to take that word and split it, the first R-E off and put a dash there. We are to represent Jesus. Why? Because that's related to why He came. And all these things then are beginning to fit together for us. John 14, verse 6. Talking to His disciples, He's told them He's going to be going somewhere, and they say, "We don't know where you're going." And in verse 6, Jesus says to Thomas, who made that comment, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Me. Only one way. And then Jesus, speaking to him in verse 7, says, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. But from now on you know Him and have seen Him." And what's He saying? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And then Philip, look at how he pipes up. "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be good for us. That'll be enough for us." And look in verse 9, tying right back to verse 7. Jesus said to Philip, "Have I been with so long with you, and yet you have not come to know Me, Philip? And you have not come..." Let me read that again now. "If you had known Me..." This is verse 7. "You would have known My Father, and from now on you know Him." Now verse 9. "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father." So how do you say, "Show us the Father"? Now, why is that so important? Because that is about what? Representing the Father. And what are we called to do? As His ecclesia, we are called to rule and reign, and in that ruling and reigning, represent Jesus. People ought to say, "I've seen Luke. I know what Jesus looks like because I see the love that He puts forth." So that's the way we ought to be seen. And let me add this too. And if necessary, use words. And if you were here with us last week, you would understand that a bit more. Again, go look at it if you haven't had a chance. Let's continue down then and look at verse 12. And so that's then when He says to them, "What I've done, you're going to do, and even greater things are you going to do." But now I want you to go down to verse 15. And I want to say to you, He's not changing topics. In verse 15, Jesus makes a straightforward, simple statement. "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So I want to ask you, if you and I perceive we're having difficulty keeping His commandments, what do we want to do? Do we just want to make up our mind that, bless God, we're just going to try harder and I'm just going to do it? No. Where do we want to go back to? Well, I want to go back through willingness and submission and start at, "He loves me." I want to start there. When we try to do it ourselves, we're doing works. We're doing it of our flesh. So what does it say here? If you love Me, you will keep His commandments. So go back and focus on that love. Let me read you the Passion Translation for this verse. "Loving Me empowers you to keep My commandments." This is Jesus talking to you now. "Loving Me empowers you to keep my commandments. Saints, that is a key revelation for us. Because we just grit it out and say, I'm going to have faith, I'm going to do it. But where does it go back to? Knowing the love of the Father for you, such that you can love Him back in that same way. So is there a connection then between verse 12 and even 13 and 14, which is talking about whatever you ask, I'll do, and verse 15? Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. So it's as if we've progressed through all of these things in this study, from love to our identity, to honor, now to submission, and now to obedience. And where does it take us all right back to? See the wisdom of God in the way He structured this study for us? Look down at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Now, for me, this is also talking about a covenant love, hesed, that loving kindness that comes in a covenant relationship. He already loved you because we were on the earth. That's why he came. But when we keep his commandments, and this says, and we love him, then that is putting us in this covenant relationship that we're in of love. And the whole covenant that we studied in our previous study is about his hesed, his love for us. But look at it. It says, and I will disclose myself to him. The word there literally means to manifest, or is also translated manifest. But it's talking about light and power, and it has the connotation of an intense shining. So when I read this verse, I'm going to manifest myself to you. That just doesn't mean I'm going to see him. This means I'm going to experience him and his power at work in my life. You see what I'm saying there? That when we obey his commandments because we love him, and he's in covenant with us, and he's loving us, and he's manifesting, those things that are part of the covenant are going to come to fruition in my life. Glory to God. That ought to bring some smiles to our faces. And don't start saying, well, it's so hard. No, you're seeing how you do it. You do it because of love. Look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened? In other words, how are you going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And that's a legitimate question. But can I say to you, the answer you're going to see is because we're in love with him. And because we're in love with him, we're obedient to him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. When did he come into your heart? When you willingly asked him to receive him. You received him in. And when you willingly received him, what happened? A miracle. The greatest of all miracles. You were born again. And he, by means of the Holy Spirit, he loved, took up residence in your heart. Now, we know that some won't receive this love. They won't see his goodness. They won't listen to the gospel of his word. And so what does this say about them? That he is not disclosing himself to them. That's what he's saying in these verses. But let's go back to this question. If we're not keeping his commandments as we want to, as I desire, then what do I need to do? And yes, we're beginning to wrap this up. We're going to what? Submit. Be willing to hear what he's instructing us. And we're going to hear intelligently. And thus, we're going to be obedient. But where do we start? We start back on his love. And please remember, we talked about over and over again, if you realize that I'm not loving him as I need to, and therefore I'm not being obedient, then do you start just trying to love him more? No. you go back and you focus on His love for you. Everything that He's given you emanates from that great, great love for you. I want to read you verse 23 from the Weiss translation. If anyone, as a habit of life, loves me with a divine and self-sacrificial love. Now let's stop there. How can I love Him except I be born again and have His love in me with that type of love, divine and self-sacrificial? That's the agape, because that love has been placed in us. If anyone is, as a habit of life, loves me with a divine and self-sacrificial love, my word he will keep. So there's a cause and effect. My word will he keep, and my Father will love him, and we shall come and on abiding place, and an abiding place with him we shall make for ourselves. And then we get to verse 24. So a habitual way of life. And in verse 24, it says, again, the Weiss translation, he who is not habitually loving me with a divine and self-sacrificial love, my words he's not keeping. So we see a cause and effect. So we're not trying to just force ourselves to be obedient. We're going back and starting over with his love. You love me. You love me so much you sent Jesus. Jesus loved me so much there in the garden. He said, not my will, but yours. He submitted to your will so that we could have this life that we now have in him. So what do we see? Well, what did the Passion Translation tell us? Because I believe it's true. Loving him empowers you and I to keep his words, his instructions, his commandment. I might say, my source of power to do what he's asking me to do is based on his love. Now, I want to close by reading you something we talked about at the beginning. I want to read you Ephesians 3 scripture. Because today we've seen that loving him is a prerequisite, but you can't love him until you know his love. We love because he first loved us. So listen to this prayer that you're praying over yourselves. And I'm smiling when I say that now to you, okay? Because I really want you to. And I think today ought to be even more of an encouragement. Paul praying, let me say that differently. Holy Spirit praying for you and I. This is not personalized. This is the way the scripture reads. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, and here's where it starts, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. God is love. That's what we are filled to all the fullness of already. But he's praying that we would know that. That's why it's so important that you confess this over yourself so that it becomes real. Then once that happens, look at what this says. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to that power that's now working in us, that love empowering us to do what? To be obedient to what he shows us to do. When we do that, verse 21 comes about. To him be the glory in the church, in you. Because you know that love, you're experienced in it, and you're letting it flow through you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Think back where we started today when we started talking about obedience, Deuteronomy 30, and listen to this. This is verse 19, the B part of it, and 20, A part. Choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. You want your descendants to live well? Choose life. I want you to see this has a far-reaching impact. And you don't be sitting there. So I just hear somebody saying, Yeah, but I'm too far down the road. I'm at this age and my children are this and they've got children and they're... No. This says choose life. It didn't say, yeah, it's best to choose it early, but it didn't say don't choose it just because it's too late. Choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. It's never too late. No problems get big enough that we can't trust God for that. Verse 20, by loving the Lord, this is how we choose life, by obeying His voice and by holding fast to Him. For this is the way, this is your life and the length of days. Folks, this is the way Jesus lived His life of submission and obedience, rooted and grounded in His Father's love. It was the basis for everything that He did. It's the reason He came. It's the reason He loved you. And it is what will take us and propel us to be able to submit. And let me just remind you, when you submit and resist, your enemy's going to flee, as in stark terror. Jesus did this as a man, and so can you and I. So can you and I. Bless you. We love you guys. We'll continue with this study next week. We've got a couple of more topics to get through. And I look forward to it. I just want you to know you are the blessed of the Lord because you have chosen today to hear His words. And I believe they will produce fruit that He wants to be produced through your life, not only for yourself, but for others. We love you and we'll see you next week at this same time.